Welcome to Dare to Struggle, Dare to Win, a monthly podcast by the U.S. Human Rights Network, addressing human rights issues in the United States. I'm your host, Sacagawea Hall.
In this month's podcast, we speak with Saladin Muhammad about the Southern Workers' Assembly, a gathering to advance a social justice labor movement in the South. We also speak with Adrian Bernal about the recent Caravan for Peace with Justice and Dignity. The caravan toured the U.S. to engage in dialogue about alternatives to the war on drugs. Workers from across the Southeast gathered in Charlotte, North Carolina at the time of the Democratic National Convention for a Southern Workers' Assembly. Saladin Muhammad, coordinator of the assembly, joins us to give a report back. Saladin is also coordinator of the Southern International Worker Justice Campaign and a member of Black Workers for Justice. Thank you, Saladin, for joining us. Can you start off with why it was important to have it happen at the time of the DNC?
We felt that it was important to have the Southern Workers Assembly in Charlotte and at the time of the DNC for a couple of reasons. One, the question of right-to-work laws, the anti-union history of the South has been a real critical to addressing the question of wages, community development, worker rights, and it also has been a factor that has undermined the strength of the labor movement outside of the South throughout the country. Charlotte, North Carolina, was the city that, after the Taft-Hartley Act was established in 1947, the anti-union law that placed restrictions on the rights of unions, Charlotte led the way in denying the right of municipal workers, that's city workers, to collectively bargain. They, you know, denied the firefighters, the cops, and everybody else the right to form unions, to collectively bargain. The state representative from Mecklenburg County, he introduced a bill into the state, the North Carolina State Legislature, calling for the prohibition of collective bargaining rights for all public sector employees, and also to make joining a union illegal. So in 1959, the North Carolina State Legislature passed a law banning the right to join unions and the right to collective bargaining for all public sector employees. In 1969, that was overturned as unconstitutional, but it was never removed from the books. The bold headline that says it's illegal to join a union was never removed, and supervisors, you know, throughout the state of North Carolina would use that page to frighten workers and say, see, it's illegal to join unions. It's a misdemeanor, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So Charlotte, you know, epitomizes, you know, the stand of the denial of collective bargaining rights, not only throughout the state of North Carolina, but throughout the whole region, because only North Carolina and the state of Virginia has very specified language making it illegal to bargain, collectively bargain. Other states have ordinances, and other states are just not accommodating collective bargaining and using, you know, the media and the rest to discourage it, you know. So that's one of the reasons. We also wanted to point out, you know, particularly, you know, because the Democratic Convention, the Democratic Party claims, you understand, to be a party of the oppressed, the working class, et cetera, you know, that, you know, holding, you know, the convention in an anti-union state that has the lowest percentage of union membership, you know, of any state throughout the country, just over 2% of the workers, you know, belong to unions, you know. It's also in a region where all 12 southern states together have less union members than the state of New York by itself. And so for us, it was important to have the Southern Workers Assembly at that location and during that time.
Okay. And so what took place at the assembly?
Well, the assembly reached out, you know, to workers, local unions, worker centers, work organizations, committees that attempted to organize unions but were unsuccessful, but still, you understand, wanted to fight, you know, to build organization. We were able to attract participants from I think it was eight southern states, unions like the ILA, UFCW, UE, Unite Here, CWA, the Mississippi Workers Center, you know, the Black Workers for Justice, a number of work organizations and unions attended. These workers came together to both share experiences, you know, about the challenges of organizing, successes and also obstacles, and to talk about the need to form an alliance, a Southern Labor Alliance, to begin a concerted effort to build a social justice labor movement in the South. There were panels that included workers in the public sector, from municipal workers, state workers, public campus workers, postal workers, and the like, that dealt with issues there. There was a private sector panel that included workers from a diesel plant in North Carolina, from poultry and hog operations in North Carolina, from farm workers organizing again in North Carolina, and also in Louisiana areas. We had a food service workers that works at the airport. Then we had an excluded workers panel that included the farm workers, workers who were a part of the UndocuBus campaign that traveled from Arizona, stopping and picking up workers, I believe, in Texas and in Louisiana, who worked in various categories, but who were victimized because of undocumentation, who participated in the panel. We had some formerly incarcerated organizations that were represented on the panel, talking about the fight for jobs. So it was a full range, you know, of the working class in the most part in the South, you know, and the commissions were formed that united those sectors together, and that will be in place to mobilize for the Southern Human Rights Organizing Conference, where we will have a more detailed planning session, some report backs on the work of the commission between now and then.
Okay, yeah, because I was going to ask you what's next after this assembly.
Yes, so it'll be at the SROC conference December 7th through 9th in Charleston, South Carolina, 2012, where we will take the next steps towards actually forming the Southern Labor Alliance out of the Southern Workers' Assembly.
Okay, great. Thank you, Saladin.
Okay, Sister Saki, thank you.
For more information on the Southern Workers' Assembly, next steps, and how to get involved, visit www.southernworkers.org. To attend the Southern Human Rights Organizers Conference, where the development of the Southern Labor Alliance next steps will take place, visit www.southernhumanrights.org. This summer, victims of the drug war in Mexico traveled across the United States on the Caravan for Peace with Justice and Dignity to make the connections between the impacts of the drug war in Mexico and in the U.S. and to promote the dialogue about the policies at the root of the crisis. Adrian Bernal coordinated the stop in Atlanta, Georgia, and joins us to share about the caravan.
Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Could you just start off by giving us a brief summary of what the Peace Caravan is?
Yes, the Peace Caravan is interested in promoting an awareness in the United States of the issues that are happening as a result of U.S. policies, the things that are happening in Mexico and in the United States. We've got the 60,000 people have been killed in Mexico. 10,000 people have been disappeared, which means that they have disappeared, but not because they wandered off, but someone actually did away with them. And so the caravan has come to talk about five major issues that are affecting the stability of Mexico. And among them are money laundering, gun running, the policy, as we said, about the United States giving money to Mexico and corrupt institutions. We want to have end of militarization of the border and the criminalization of immigrants looking at alternatives for making for dealing with the problem of drugs across the border.
So what are some of the alternatives? Is that a discussion that people are having throughout the tour of the Peace Caravan, or are there alternatives that are already being put forth?
The caravan came not to tell the United States what we should do with our laws, but rather to very respectfully ask us to examine our own policies and for us to suggest ways that we could maybe do things better. We've been pumping thousands, millions of dollars for the last 40 years into fighting the drug war, and the demand for the drugs have increased over that period, not decreased. With the caravan, there was a group called LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, and they were sponsors of the caravan. They traveled with the caravan wherever. These are former law enforcement officials, chiefs of police, special agents, folks like that that have come to the realization that prohibition doesn't work, and they shared their stories with us. The other part of the caravan is trying to raise awareness that we should look at this as a health issue instead of a national security issue and try to offer services and look at the problem in a different way.
What are the thoughts from the Peace Caravan's perspective on immigration?
The main message has been to treat immigrants as human beings and not to subject them to subhuman treatment, as we saw in Arizona, where immigrants without papers were put in tents in the hot sun and herded around like animals. So it's more asking for dignity of people and to quit criminalizing the immigrants. And the end of militarization of the border, and policies that protect the dignity of every human being. That's why it was called the Caravan for Peace with Justice and Dignity, is the official title of the caravan.
Can you tell us a little bit about the people who are traveling with the caravan?
Yes. The primary or the most famous of the people is the poet Javier Cecilia, who is a writer, a journalist, a poet in Mexico, very well known, and in the rest of the world as well. His son, a 24-year-old, was murdered by members of a drug cartel last year, and that caused him great pain. And it caused him to realize that the pain he was suffering was also being felt by thousands of other Mexicans. So he started a movement which translated to Estamos hasta la madre. It means we're up to here with the violence. Basta, enough is enough. So the people are with the caravan. There were 100. And 10 people that came on two buses, half of them were victims, were people who had family members murdered, and the other half were support people who worked with them, counselors. So that's the composition of the caravan. And at every stop, they shared their stories of sorrow. It's important to note here that the people who were killed or being killed in Mexico are innocent bystanders. We think sometimes that there are people in the drug trade, but the reality is that these are people who are innocents on their way to work. But because in the last 6 years, the government of Mexico started a very strong campaign to decapitate the cartels, which indeed worked, but what happened was that all of the folks underneath them became their own little fiefdoms.
Can you just speak a little bit to why this is important for people in the United States to care about?
The reason it's important for us is because we have more people here in the United States that are dying from drugs, people who are going to jail for basically having on them their person drugs. We have the biggest population of inmates in the world in the United States. So the effects of this of the policies or drug policies are affecting average citizens, and we see lives ruined. We see overdoses. We see that when drugs are coming across the border, a lot of the violence is spilling over. We are here in Atlanta, and we see almost daily, and certainly weekly, the police have stopped huge shipments of heroin or cocaine or marijuana. So Atlanta has become a distribution point for these drugs. And like I say, for the last 40 years, nothing has worked to stop this. So it's time for us to look at other solutions to the problem. And that was the whole point, was to get people thinking, how can we stop this? What can we do? Because business as usual isn't working.
Right. I'm glad you mentioned the relationship to Atlanta, because they were here in Atlanta. Before we end, maybe you can talk a little bit about how the event, the 2 days, went in Atlanta.
Right. They went very well. We started off our day at the Martin Luther King Memorial, where we were joined by Reverend Durley, who worked directly with Martin Luther King, and also with the head of the NAACP, Mr. DuBois. And march from Martin Luther King tomb to the Capitol, we had a dinner at the Latin American Association on Beaufort Highway, which we had about 300 people show up. Very varied group of people, multiracial, multi-denominational, and everybody interested in helping. More speakers. The following day, we went to the School of the Americas, formerly known as School of the Americas, because a number of a lot of money that the United States spends or gives to Mexico, Mexican military come here to learn interrogation techniques, etc. And a lot of the military and law enforcement in Mexico are very corrupt. And so they use that knowledge to their own ends, unfortunately. But so we had that night, then we came back to Atlanta, and we were at Plaza Fiesta there on Beaufort Highway, which is a very Latino area. And we had a street theater talking about the problems of Latinos here in Atlanta. And then there was a candlelight procession to the buses where we were able to say goodbye to the caravan and wish them well on their way to Washington, D.C.
After a month of traveling across the Southwest, Southeast, and Northeast, the caravan ended in Washington, D.C. Although the caravan is over, the vision is to build a trans-border movement for justice, peace, gun and drug policy reform, and social renewal. For more information, visit www.caravanforpeace.org.
The U.S. Human Rights Network is dedicated to building a people-centered human rights movement in the United States. For more information about the network and how to become a member, visit www.ushrnetwork.org. We also want to hear your feedback. Get in touch with us by emailing info@ushrnetwork.org. Thanks for listening to Dare to Struggle, Dare to Win. Join us next month. We'll be right back.